Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
We kicked off a little kind of summer sermon series last week called The Radical Middle or Vineyard Distinctives. We thought we'd spend some time on some of our distinctives or our values or our family story. We're not the only church movement or denomination in the world, and we're certainly not the best, but we do have our own distinctives. And so we thought we'd spend some time talking about that for the rest of August, and we kicked that off last week. So that's what we'll be doing this morning. It'll be new for some of us because we don't really know much about the vineyard. That's fine. That's okay. And it's a wonderful refresher for others of us. And to help us do that, we've been using some phrases that we have as a movement of churches that have really caught our attention and caught our hearts over the years. Lots of groups and families and friendship groups have little phrases, don't they, that we repeat to each other over and over, that they just capture something about who we are, like short little sayings that deliver big meaning. And they've kind of become a shorthand in our families or in our friendship groups or even in movements of churches. And the Vineyard's no different. We mentioned last week John Wimber, who has gone on to glory. Now, there's a picture of Uncle John. Well, he's not my uncle. I just call him Uncle John. There he is there. We let him speak last week by the miracles of modern technology. We're going to be quoting him extensively this week. He was one of the founders of the Vineyard movement, and he was famous for his funny and compelling, non-hyped and non-religious way of talking about following Jesus. And over the years, again, some of his phrases have just really stuck. They've just become part of our shorthand and stuff like that. So we thought in this sermon series, we would take a few of those little phrases and unpack them over the next few weeks. If you want to hear a better and a fuller introduction, download last week's talk from the podcast website thing. But briefly, just one of our callings as a movement is to walk in the difficult or radical middle that is often so elusive. It's really easy to go to one side or the other and to, you know, throw grenades at each other, right? It's a lot more difficult to contend for the radical middle. And that phrase, the radical middle, is kind of a Vineyardism in and of itself. And for better or for worse, as the Vineyard, we have always tried to live in that tension of the radical movement. We're a movement that insists on reaching for all that we see in the Scriptures and that the Spirit of God leads us into. In fact, John had this. He would say often, only Bible and we dry up. Only Spirit and we blow up. But Word and Spirit and we grow up. That'll stay with you for a while. And as we've pursued the radical middle as churches and individuals and whole movement, it's often taken us into that stormy place of tension where there's risk and where there's criticism from both sides. That's the problem with being stuck in the middle, right? You just get it from all sides. But in that radical middle, we've also found balance, real power, and we found the presence of Jesus there. Last week, I talked about kind of the prayer that some people will call the Vineyard prayer, come Holy Spirit. You would often hear it in Vineyard churches and Vineyard contexts, very important to us. And again, you can listen to last week's talk to find out why. It's actually a very ancient prayer. We didn't write it. We don't own it. It belongs to all Christians for all time. So this week, I wanted to talk about something that has been in kind of Vineyard lore and Vineyard legend, and that is this little drawing of the Vineyard person. And I know, wonderful, beautiful work of art here. But anyway, it'll do the job. And it comes from a time when the Vineyard movement was growing fast. The Vineyard movement is still growing fast, but this comes from a time when it was doubling and more every single year. And it was just going wild. And the Holy Spirit was just really expanding it exponentially. And those who were leading the Vineyard movement, John Wimber and many others, were just trying to catch up with what was the Holy Spirit doing. If you ever led an organization or a family or a group or a church or a movement or anything, you know, that you know these seasons of growth and expansion where you kind of feel like you're flying the airplane and building it all at the same time. And it was kind of one of those moments. And John Wimber, and they were having a dinner meeting, and they were trying to figure out, like, how do we explain what the Holy Spirit is building in the vineyard? Like, what is a vineyard? Like, how do we explain what's important to us? And John Wimber took a napkin, and he drew all this vineyard person out to a bit easily describe a bit of who we are and what we're called to. So we're just going to briefly go through the vineyard person to understand a little bit more about our family story, to explain why we do some of the things we do, to talk about some of the postures we have, some of the values we have, what's important to us and why. And then we're going to appreciate the freedom that these are values. They're not rules. And the important thing about values is they're really important. They're front and center, but they're flexible. So they allow each generation and local context and local culture to take them and to live them out for themselves in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not just bound to do it in the way John Wimber did it in 1980 in Southern California. John Wimber wore Hawaiian shirts all the time when he preached. And I think that's an abomination, and I'm really glad we don't have to do that. So we're free. If you read the book of Acts, when the apostles wanted to tell the church what to do, they didn't write them a doctrinal statement, they wrote them a letter. And they told the churches what was important to them. They gave them values that then they, in the power of the Spirit, were to live out in their own context, and we get to do the same. So think about that. We're not just having a nostalgia tour here, we're actually thinking through this. So, the foundation on which we stand. I think you'll be happy to know that in the vineyard we have a high view of the Bible or the Scriptures, and that's one of our foundations. The vineyard person stands on the authority of Scripture. And if you've been around the vineyard for a while, you shouldn't be too much of a surprise, I hope. The Bible is a standard for our faith and practice. It's the Word of God in its unique written form, inerrant in its original form, and its purpose is to guide us into a life-saving relationship with God in His kingdom. We read the Bible because Jesus read and knew what He knew as the Bible, the Old Testament, and He, in His darkest and most difficult moments, what came out of the mouth of Jesus was the Scriptures. So we look at that and we say, we better have those inside us too. The church has always read the Scriptures, believed the Scriptures, internalized the Scriptures, and done whatever it could to obey the Scriptures. We believe the Scriptures instruct us, comfort us. They draw us into the presence of God. We believe God speaks to us through the Scriptures and reveals truth to us through the Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, "But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." We believe that the Bible, the Scriptures, are the primary way that God speaks to us today, and we are always on a journey of submitting our lives more and more to God and to His Word. God has spoken to us through His Word. So we read it, we study it, we memorize it, we meditate on it, we draw comfort from it, we obey the Scriptures. And we do all this not just to grow in knowledge, but to put the Scriptures into action in our own lives. And this has always been a real sticking point for the vineyard. Again, John Wimber, we read the Scriptures to obey the Scriptures. If we only learn about God but never act on what He says, we risk coming under Jesus' judgment of the Pharisees. John Wimber taught us, the vineyard has always believed, that we don't just do Bible trivia. We put the Scriptures into action in our own lives. We don't just read it to just have a nice time with Jesus, although we get to do that. We actually believe we're encountering something of the presence of the living God. And it compels us. It instructs us. And we should see the Scriptures active in our own lives. Over the past few months, if you've been noticing, we've been turning up the heat a little bit on this value. We've been challenging each other to engage with the Bible daily, and we even passed out sheets with kind of 28 days of scripture readings and stuff like that, and we really challenged married couples, we challenged singles to grab some friends and to let the scriptures be daily in the scriptures and let it challenge us and build us. We challenged men, would you take the lead with this in your relationships? And I just would wonder, how's that going? How's that going? And if that was like an intention more than something that got built into your life and you're like, I can't even find that sheet, Andy, what do? Email Andy at Belfast City Vineyard right now and I will email you another sheet and you can just get right back on the unicycle and go for it. Just go for it. If you're like, look, I don't really get how to do time with the Bible. I don't really understand how to do that. I need some help. We're starting a How to Follow Jesus Well course in September. Sign up for that and build rhythms of life in Jesus' presence into your life. We will teach you how to do that. We'll take you by the hand and just show you really basically how do you spend time with Jesus, including how to be in His Word. There's another little thing that I've just discovered. Now, you need to know I have nothing to do with this app. I take no credit for it, and I get no profit or benefit from recommending it to you. I just had this recommended to me, and there's a Bible app called Dwell, and you have to pay for it, so I don't know, somebody makes money off of it, but they have done an amazing job of arranging the scriptures and different reading plans and things like that, and there's some, you get your choice of accents and music to accompany it, and it's almost like a Spotify format. Really interesting, really creative, and extremely well done. I have been using it for the last month, and I have been in the scriptures more in the last month. It has just revolutionized it, and it's giving me just a different way to internalize the scriptures. So if, you know, you do a commute, or you go running, or something like, look, I want that put into me, then maybe check that out. Sadly, there's not a Northern Irish accent there that you can choose from. So you won't get to hear scundered and foundered and all that stuff, but, you know, maybe I'll write them, you know, and one of you can record the whole Bible in your beautiful accent. So, but anyway, you can check that out. Again, the Vineyard doesn't profit in any way from it. You do have to pay for it, but I've just found it great, and I'm just recommending it to you. So next, our second foundation is the kingdom of God. The story of the Bible is the story of God and His kingdom. When the Bible talks about the kingdom of God, which it talks about the kingdom of God an awful lot, it doesn't just mean lines on a map. It means the reign of God or His active rule. You know, where a king or a queen rules and reigns, that's the space, the realm in which they get their way. It refers to their dynamic, real authority. In the Old Testament, we see glimpses of this. In Exodus chapter 15, the people of God, this is the first time they sing out that God's king and they proclaim the Lord reigns forever and ever. Later, the prophets cry out about a king and a coming kingdom. And then Jesus begins His ministry, not with a sermon, but with an announcement. After John was put into prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The good news of God is that the time has come, He said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus was announcing that the dynamic rule and reign, the presence and reality of God, His reign over heaven and earth was now breaking out on the earth in a new way, and it was centered around and in Him, in Jesus. And He's saying, it's time to repent or turn from what you've been pursuing. Come out from underneath the rule of the enemy who holds you in bondage of sin and brokenness and death, and come under the rule and the reign of God who will lead you into life. And we do that through putting our faith and hope and trust in Jesus and beginning to follow Him. And Paul, this is what Paul's writing about in Colossians chapter 1. For He has rescued us from the dominion or kingdom of darkness, and He brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. Jesus didn't just say that the kingdom of God was here. He demonstrated that it was here, and it was an assault on the kingdom of the enemy. Jesus' announcement of the kingdom was a declaration of war. And right after that announcement in Mark chapter 1, what do we see in Mark's Gospels? We see Jesus casting out demons. We see Him healing. We see miracles. Not just announcing words, but delivering with real power. The effects of the rule of God breaking out. What happens when the kingdom of God comes? Well, God gets His way. So sick people don't stay sick anymore. Dead people don't stay dead anymore. God gets his way in me. God gets his way in our city. God gets his way in our church when the kingdom of God comes. God gets his way in our thought life when the kingdom comes, in our families, in our hearts, in our schools, in our workplaces. And in the Vineyard, we believe that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to empower the church not just to preach the words of Jesus, but to do his works as well. And next week, we're going to talk an awful lot more about that. But John Wimber always said this, the Vineyard is God's idea. He called us as a kingdom people, doing the stuff of proclamation and demonstration. To do only half of what we've been called into is not a complete gospel message, and we must do all of what God has placed upon us. Now that puts us in the place of real tension, because we in BCV have seen people get healed, we've seen people put their faith in Jesus and get saved, we've seen people delivered, we've seen great blessing come upon people, we've seen the signs of the kingdom. Even last week in prayer ministry, the number of people reported healing, a number of people reported things shifted. The kingdom of God was very present. But we don't have to look very far in our lives and in the world to see that we are a far cry from heaven. The kingdom is here, it's not yet fully here, which is summed up in the Vineyard phrase, the already and the not yet. The kingdom of God is available and here now. Jesus announced, in me it is here and at hand. In other places in the Gospels, he said it's not yet fully here. And when Jesus returns at the end of all things as Lord of heaven and earth, the kingdom will be here in its fullness. Until then, we are between the times. We are between the ages. We are in the tension of the already and the not yet. One of our values here in BCV is authenticity. In other words, we're honest about life. So if life is very difficult, we don't say it's great. We tell the truth. But we're also, one of our values is expectancy. That just like last week, we pray all the time, come Holy Spirit, and we expect God to break in. And in my opinion, this is the hardest of all the tensions that we try and hold in the Vineyard. And in my life, and I've seen in our movement's life, in our church's life, the first thing to leave is the expectancy that God might move at any time. That the kingdom might break in. And that we get to take kingdom risks and to do the works of Jesus. Disappointment is a powerful thing. And disappointment is hard. And when it feels like the kingdom is not yet here, that's a very hard and potent thing. But expectation is also something to cultivate. And is also something robust and potent and powerful. And what might happen if we entered into a new season where we continually prayed over the minutia of life and the grand big things that we're facing, come Holy Spirit. And we stood on the foundation of the kingdom of God and expected the already of the kingdom to break into our current reality. Well, the Vineyard person stands on the kingdom of God and upon the word of God. And one of the supporting legs is worship. Worship. Worship is the highest priority of the Vineyard. Our heart's desire should be to worship God. We've been designed by God for this purpose. If we don't worship God, we'll worship something or someone else. It's always been part of our story. Not just sung worship. We believe all of life is worship. Doing all that we do as an offering of worship to Jesus, submitting to him in how we deal with people. How we do our jobs, how we serve, how we lead, how we use our bodies, our money, our lives. Everything can be worship unto Jesus, even the hard things that he asks of us. One of the challenges of this current generation of Christians is to reframe the difficult challenges and suffering and trials to a more biblical framework of I am enduring something for the sake of Christ, rather than something's wrong and God's not giving me my best life now. Everything is worship. Everything can be worship. We might just need to reframe it. But you won't be surprised to hear that everything is worship, and hopefully you won't be surprised that we do also very much mean sung worship, what we just spent some time doing. Singing in worship in groups like this, in small groups, on our own, has been a deeply important part of the Vineyard story. Since we're kingdom people, people of expectancy who are watching for God's presence to come, we expect Him to meet us even as we worship Him. One of the huge worship values of the Vineyard is intimacy. We sing to God, not just about God, and we expect Him to draw near to us, to heal us, to love us, to bless us, to speak to us, to convict us, to empower us. A theologian called Wayne Grudem writes this: one of the primary purposes of the Holy Spirit in the New Covenant age is to manifest the presence of God, to give indications that make the presence of God known, because the Holy Spirit is fully God and shares all the attributes of God. His influence will be to bring a God-like character or atmosphere to the situations in which He is active. This is really important to us. When we worship, we expect the presence of God to be made manifest in and with us. And again, that's been a huge value and part of our story. Carol Wimber, who was John's wife, really, there's something about worship in the Vineyard that was actually on her just as much as it was John. And she wrote this: it was during the songs with words addressed directly to God that they experienced a more profound sense of His presence. When they gave Him worship as a gift, not as a warm-up for the teaching, but as an end in itself, an interesting thing happened. God brought His presence and ministered to them. That is still our expectation. That when we're gathering together, or when you're in your car alone singing, when no one can hear you, or you're in the shower, or wherever you are worshiping, however that works for you, small groups, still our expectation that we are entering into His presence. He is worthy to be worshipped whether He shows up or not. But our expectation and our experience as the Vineyard is He loves to show up as His people worship Him. And He pours out His love, and He pours out His healing, and He pours out His presence with us. And He brings His scriptures to mind, and He is with us. Now, that's a really interesting thing she said there. When they gave Him worship as a gift, not as the warm-up for the teaching. Are we giving our worship to Him as a gift, or are we treating that space as like something optional that I can turn up, you know, three songs in and that'll be fine, or not even really engage with or participate in? What if we didn't treat it as optional? What if we brought an expectation that He's going to meet with us? What if we came with an expectation that we'd be profoundly changed and empowered as we're in His presence? Will we commit to that all over again? Will we commit to that all over again? We need to move on. So the other leg that the Vineyard person is standing on is compassion. Compassion. So often in the Gospels, we see compassion from Jesus right before the miracles of Jesus. So you'll see phrases like, Jesus moved with compassion, and then He heals, and there's some kind of action. One of the most powerful things when I encountered the Vineyard is this idea of compassion, that as we encounter Jesus in worship and we encounter His presence and His radical mercy, forgiveness, and compassion for us, we are then in turn filled with compassion for those around us. In other words, the Holy Spirit deposits the mercy and compassion of Jesus in us, and then that overflows around us. So we experience the compassion of Jesus for us as we meet with Him. And that's what compels us to go and show compassion to others. We're not like serving others and doing stuff out of our muscle and our willpower. It's actually an encounter with the compassion of Jesus for us. So compassion for those who don't know Jesus compels us to go and to tell them about Jesus. Compassion for the sick and hurting compels us to go pray for them. Compassion for those in lack compels us to serve and feed and clothe and house them. Compassion for those oppressed compels us to work for justice. Part of doing the works of Jesus is experiencing the compassion of Jesus for you. And then that moving you to give that away to others. Worship is the fuel for all that we do begins in worship and encountering the presence of Jesus and his compassion for us. For everyone we see. That's why worship and compassion are the support legs. And it's why they go together. It's no surprise then that one of the hallmarks of a Vineyard church is moving towards the people in our cities who are in great need, practically and physically. The hungry, the homeless, those who do not have justice, the lonely, the foreigner, the downtrodden. It's like a non-negotiable in the Vineyard. It's why Storehouse exists and our other compassion environments and ministries. Why do they exist? Is it just because John Wimber wrote it in an epistle somewhere? No. They exist because we have encountered the compassion of Jesus and his mercy for us. And then what else could we do? One of the big Vineyard phrases that John used to say all the time is, remember the poor. Remember the poor. Compassion is more than being nice. It's being moved to do something and engage. Worship without compassion is dangerously close to something the prophets warned about, that God rejects that kind of worship. Compassion without worship is helping people but not embracing and grounding it in God's mercy and presence and power shown to us in Jesus Christ. Two Fridays ago, I had the chance to go to Friday Church, which is our Friday afternoon congregation, and there's people from all walks of life, and I brought my son. Normally he's in school, but I brought him along this time. And again, they're just people from all walks of life, and there just were people there who it looked, from the outside it looked like life's going great, and then there were people there that it just was obvious that there were significant challenges in life, okay, significant challenges. And there was even somebody stretched out on a settee sleeping during the whole thing, which, as I thought about it this morning praying through this talk, I see lots of you sleep every Sunday morning from here, so it was kind of similar. Do you like that? But anyway, I'm just trying to engage with my son about the reality of life in our city and what some people face and how what we might have is just an incredible mercy of God to us, and then we are to go and show mercy to others. And I just said, look, Owen, look around you. Some of these people have nowhere else to go. They've got nowhere else to go. And they're here in the presence of Jesus and looking for his mercy. And then I just realized, same's true for me. I've got nowhere else to go. I need to run to the compassion and mercy of Jesus and his church. I've got nowhere else to go either. We're committed to worship and we're committed to compassion. The body of our Vineyard person, we've got kind of four pictures. I'll go through them really quickly of what should be operational in a church, what a church should be. And we're kind of all of these all at the same time. The first is family, or we might say community, a place where we experience together the radical welcome of Jesus. Anyone and everyone open to joining his family is welcomed in. The church should be a family. It should be a home where we can experience his mercy and his truth together and grow together. And in a few weeks' time, we're going to talk specifically about that. The second is a hospital. A hospital. You're welcome into the family of God and into the church, even if you're broken and in need of healing. And in fact, one of the things about the Vineyard, I mentioned it last week a little bit, is it was born out of profound brokenness and realizing we're all broken, and we all know what it's like to walk with a limp. The problem of pretending you're not broken is you forget your radical need of Jesus every single day, and sooner or later you start doing life and church and mission without him. We're all broken, and we all need the radical love and mercy and healing of Jesus. It's found in him and in his family. And although our sin is forgiven at the cross where Jesus died for us, it may take some time to deal with the consequences of sin in our lives or with the consequences of a hurt done to us by another's sin. The church is the place where you can come to be healed to get sent out again. So we spent loads of time with different programs and pastoral care and prayer ministry every single week. You can get that in small groups and here. We do small groups. People journey with you. We just do loads of different things to help people heal up and get back into the mission of Jesus. We're healed not just to have a great life. We're healed to be sent out again. My story is when I first met the Vineyard, I arrived at the Evanston Vineyard, heartbroken, blown apart, and in no fit state to do anything. Absolutely destroyed on the inside. And a body of people in Jesus' name ministered to me. They prayed for me. They blessed me. They pointed me to Jesus. They facilitated lots of encounters with him for me. And I got healed up. And I still need the local church for that. Nothing's changed. And so do you. And we need to play our part in the healing of others who come through these doors. Another part of the body of Christ that the Vineyard really strongly believes in is being a training center. Jesus was an equipper who released others into kingdom ministry, which we'll see next week. But straight from the ministry model of Jesus and the writings of Paul, we see that part of the role of the church is to equip God's people for works of service. For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So there you go. If you're thinking, look, I don't know how God would possibly use me or have anything for me to do, well, there you go. He's got lots for you to do. So it's about time we started figuring out what that was. And then later on in Ephesians, Paul writes, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So we spent lots of time at the Vineyard equipping. There's sermons, there's courses, there's practical stuff, there's how to follow Jesus, there's stuff about family, there's stuff about marriage, stuff about finances, friendships, there's leadership training, the list goes on and on. We're supposed to be a house of equipping. And that was burned into the movement early days. John Wimber said, I realized at a certain point in ministry, I could either get a tent and have a great ministry, or empower, equip, and release the body of Christ to do it themselves. I chose the latter as it was the Jesus model. Lastly, we are like an army. We're all these things at the same time. The church is not an audience, we're an army. The Bible doesn't just talk about the kingdom of God. It tells us we have an enemy who has usurped portions of God's kingdom, and Jesus is taking it back one life at a time. When we serve and love in his name, and we see someone healed, saved, set free, when we work for justice, when we bless the poor, when we work for the flourishing and blessing of our city, we are taking ground back from the enemy one life at a time. We are involved in a clash of kingdoms, and this isn't a hayride. It's a clash of kingdoms, and we're supposed to be an army. We're empowered not just to like feel good or to be awesome. We are empowered for the mission of Jesus in this world. That's army culture. If you want to think for a moment, like, what's army culture? Well, the mission is paramount, right? The mission is paramount. You take risks to accomplish the mission. You go where you're sent in the army. Like you take orders and you obey orders. Now, before you have a heart attack, I don't mean my orders. I mean Jesus' orders. Do we live like we have an army culture? As I've reflected on my own life and the church in the Western world, I think lots of times we've exchanged army culture for nursing home culture. Where nursing home culture is, I just need somebody to look after me and keep me safe while I wait for the end. And there's no risk and there's no mission. And are we available for the mission? It's not supposed to be nursing home culture. It's supposed to be army culture. And not in the sense of we're going to go out and hurt people or that kind of thing, but we are called to take ground in Jesus' name, sharing our faith, serving, loving. We are to be mobilized. Armies are mobilized, ready to risk for his mission. So which do you want to be a part of? Which do you think Jesus is asking you to enlist in, an audience or an army? If I had one thing to say to us this morning as a church, I just feel like we're entering into a season of risk again. It's going to be time to risk. It's going to be time to be mobilized. And it's going to be time to, instead of putting Jesus on the long finger, we're going to have to obey things that he's spoken over us, even from years ago. It's going to be time to risk again. The Vineyard person has two arms. One arm is reaching out to other Christians, other churches, other groups, in unity and love for the whole body of Christ. It's important to be in relationship and unity and blessing of other churches, other Christians in our city and in the world. Jesus loves his bride, and it blesses him when we love one another and we honor one another. And there's lots of different ways where we do that. We pray, like we did on this morning. We often pray for other groups and other organizations. We honor one another. We have built special friendship with Clonard in West Belfast. We're building friendship with the Methodist movement in Ireland. We participate in a monthly citywide prayer meeting, so pastors and leaders from churches in our city gather. We rotate around. We host it every once in a while. Churches gather together and pray together. We welcome people from other churches to attend anything we do, especially our equipping environments. If anything we're doing can equip and train and renew anyone else, we are in. We are all in. It's part of who we are as a Vineyard. You as a family, BCV, whether you know this or not, lots of people come here and they phone us up and they email us and they want what you have. They want what you have been able to pioneer here in this city. They find it compelling and they want it, and they want to take it away and be resourced and be renewed. Believe it or not, it does happen all the time. We happen to be a resource church. It's part of the calling God's placed on us, and we take it seriously. So firstly, well done. Well done to you. You have built this and you have pioneered this in the power of the Holy Spirit. But also, we need to take that seriously, especially in the areas of renewal. The Vineyard always has a history of blessing the wider church and a history of renewal. And many of you participated in teaching a prayer course at Clonard. We have sent prophetic teams and done ministry trips just to give away what the Holy Spirit has given us. Again, a little bit of prophetic word from me to you as a church. Buckle up and get ready. That's going to increase. Don't have time to expand on that, but just get ready. And the best ability is availability. So you kind of need to decide, am I available or am I not? But it's going to come. It's coming. The other arm reaches out to other places. Other places geographically, and church, it's church planting. Healthy things grow and reproduce, and churches and movements are no different. The Vineyard movement is now over 1,500 churches around the world. Some were adopted in, but the vast majority of those churches were planted. This church was planted. We ourselves have helped to plant 5 churches directly and helped out indirectly many others. It keeps us on mission. It keeps us thinking beyond ourselves. It keeps us training and equipping and innovating. It keeps us helping and serving and blessing, and it's an amazing privilege. And some of you in this room today will be leading churches on your own, of your own, in different locations geographically, different groups of people, as part of our church in a different location of the city. It's a calling on our movement and upon our church. We are to continually spend ourselves on sending people in Jesus' name, multiplying out all over Belfast, Ireland, and the world. You've heard me say it too many times, formation, community, and impact. This is one of our impacts. And again, prophetically, there is more to come. There's more coming. There's more coming. Are we available? Lastly, of course, it's like the Sunday school joke. What has a big furry tail and eats acorns or something like that? Well, I think it should be squirrel, but the answer is Jesus, right? So Jesus is always the answer, right? Jesus is the head of our church. It's his church. We live for him. I read a bit of Ephesians 4 earlier, and it goes on to say, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth of love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Above all, we exist to worship Jesus and to make his name known in all the earth, inviting men, women, and children into his kingdom, under his kingship and authority. We go and we share our faith and we invite people to become committed followers of His. When you put it all together and we let Jesus, by His Spirit, lead us, amazing things can happen. We are not the perfect church and we are not the perfect movement. Believe you me, we have our dysfunctional parts and we have the areas where we need to grow and we need to learn. We've got a lot we could learn from other churches and from other groups and other movements and from Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but it is a potent and real combination full of grace, mercy, and the power of God. What was I hoping from this little tour down memory lane and back of the napkin explanation of some of the Vineyard priorities and distinctives? Was I hoping to get you to think that the Vineyard is the best thing ever? Like some kind of cult leader? No, you don't need to believe that at all. You don't need to rush out and get a John Wimber tattoo or something like that. I am simply reminding us of the important distinctives of who we are, what we're continually reaching for. We're standing on the Word of God, and we're embracing life to the full in His kingdom. We are people of worship and compassion, continually being renewed in His presence. We are a family, a place of equipping, a place for healing, and we are an army sent out in Jesus' name with a clear mission and in His authority and His power. We love and serve the whole church. We're called to resource others and to plant churches and send missionaries and plant locations, small groups, churches, you name it. We're called to plant them locally, translocally, and further afield. And we do it all under the care, the mercy, the power of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. This is who we are. And when you know who you are, and when you know whose you are, you can move forward in confidence and fulfill your assignment. We still have an assignment, BCV, to love and serve our city, to love and serve one another, to embrace formation, community, and impact, and to build a legacy of worship and salvation and healing and renewal that those who come long after us can still access for themselves and even build upon, all to the glory of Jesus. Why don't you stand? It's felt like for ministry, some of you would really respond to that army culture versus nursing home culture. And it's time to leave the one and move to the other. And not in an abusive, negative way, I just mean mobilized way. It's time to do what you're for. For others of you, it's time to see, where do I best fit? Like, maybe the way God's gifted you, it's, I'm at my best when I'm helping people heal in the hospital part. Great, get mobilized and let's go for that. Others of you, you're like, I am for frontline evangelism, church planting. Great, let's get mobilized, let's go for that. It's about finding where you fit in the body of Christ and being ready for anything. Others of us, that encountering the compassion of Jesus in worship, leading then to ministry, we're realizing, I've been burning out and I'm harassed and helpless because I've been trying to do this in my own strength, and it's been so long since I've actually encountered the mercy of Jesus for me and let that overflow. Or maybe you never have. And if you need an encounter with the compassion of Jesus, we want to pray for you this morning. Others of you, you know you've been given some orders by Jesus, and it's time to go. Some of you, your heart just leapt when you heard me say we're to be a house of renewal and resourcing, and you want to be a part of that. Others of you, your heart leapt when I began to talk about planting locations for BCV across the city, or even planting churches on this island or further afield. You know that's for you. It's time to go. You need us to pray for you. Others of you know it's time to get serious about the Word of God and the kingdom of God. Others of us, we need to go into the hospital. That's where we're at. We need the mercy of Jesus to bring healing for us so we can get out back into
his mission. I'm going to close us in prayer, but I am going to invite the Holy Spirit. And we know when that happens, all bets are off. There'll be a team of people to pray. It's summer, so it might not be your week to pray if you're on the prayer ministry team, but we're going to need all of you who are trained to pray in our church. So we're just going to do army culture this morning, okay? So if you're trained to pray, I just drafted you. Let's go. So, Holy Spirit, would you come? None of this works without you. We're grateful for all that you've placed on the vineyard. And so we stand on our foundations we talked about today, but we also stand on our heritage. The vineyard's seen you do this. We've seen great moves of God. And we cry out again, let us see a great move of God in our day. We pray for exponential growth. We pray for people coming to faith in their droves. We pray for men, women, and children to be discipled. We pray for churches to be planted. We pray for the very fabric of our cities and towns and villages to be changed. Mobilize us all. Draft us in. Heal us. Save us. Confront us. Send us. Above all, fill us, Holy Spirit, with your presence and your power. And we just say, we're available. Use us. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Heal the sick. Heal the injured. Tend the wounds of the brokenhearted, Lord. But we say, we're going on your mission. Send us. Come, Holy Spirit, and be upon your people. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.